Okay, we're holding here on the page 705 of the Parshas Behar, Chof Hei Tes, about Rosh Hashanah. V'havor Shefa Trua. Yesh machloikas, it's in Ebenezer. Yesh machloikas in Nivra Olam b'nissan b'tishrei. It's a machloikas in the Gemara where the words get nissan b'tishrei. V'ein tzorech l'harach, he says, we don't need to bring many rayas. It's very simple. Ki matike hadas tiknon tfilos Rosh Hashanah. Our Mesiris is the Ajkenes Agdola, one who's made the Tefillah, and the Tefillah in Rosh Hashanah is Zayom Tchilas Masecha. Vehine, the Gemara does ask it, the Gemara does answer it. Vehine Re'inut Ki Ashefa B'Shnas HaYevil B'Tishas HaShashanah. He says, you see, he says, the one place from Rosh Hashanah in the Torah, you could say Rosh Hashanah is just another random Yomtiv somewhere in the middle of the year. It doesn't, there's no indication of Shishana. But as far as Yovel goes, it makes a lot of sense that Yovel starts at the beginning of a year. We're counting years, and you see that Yovel is in Tishrei, which makes a lot of sense that that's the beginning of the year by the Torah. The Torah wants us to consider that the beginning of the year. Void Pashas Hakilas Om Likre B'Torah B'Chagas Sukkos. In Chagas Sukkos was Hakil. V'Kosul Man Yishmu Lan Yilmedu V'Leitoch Nias Achat Shishana. So he says that the hakel is, it says, in order that everybody learn to do. So it makes sense if it's beginning of the year and you're sort of giving instructions to everybody, okay, here's the instructions, here the marching orders, go do. To do that in the middle of the year, it doesn't seem to make any sense. V'oid v'chaga ase b'tzeis ha-shana, v'chei t'kufis ha-shana, v'eid ne'mon sh'nas ha-shava she'kos le'sizru, so Yovel Shvius is called the Shnas HaShabbos. It starts with Lo Sizru, and that's the first agricultural event in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they plant in Cheshvan, they wait for it to rain, and everything sort of sits around just growing by itself, and it sprouts in Nisan, and then you cut it in Shavuos and so on. V'moyset chil sashana min Nisan. And if the beginning of the year would be for Nisan, so they would never cut what was planted in Shishis, because you're harvesting now at the after Pesach, and if you can't harvest after Pesach, then the pasuk couldn't be telling you to that you'll have Shnas HaShishis. V'achshav shelo yiktzu zeresh shana shish liyizru pamayim, v'kosovim lesizru shana shish levada. So it says it would come out if the year would start in Pesach, it'd be messing up 2 years, and it wouldn't make, so nobody would bother to plant stuff in the beginning of the winter. So Bal Korach, you see from the Psukim that the beginning of the year is Rosh Hashanah. I just want to add something. Obviously, I mean, these rayas are quite substantial rayas. The one who holds that the world was created in Nisan, the question is not, but there certainly is a Rosh Hashanah from Rosh Hashanah. There certainly is a structure of a year. The question is that machshava? Is that b'maisa? It's not, the tzura of a year, the Torah gave us certainty from Tishrei to Tishrei. The question is just, maybe that's going on the machshava, b'tchilo machshavtoi, or some other reason why that's the Seder Advar. The Machlokas is more to understand sort of what's behind it rather than actual Halachim Afgiminas. Okay, next Evan Ezra makes an important note about what our calendar is. It's oversimplified when we talk about our calendar as being a lunar calendar. Let's go. Yehuda Parsi Omar. This Yehuda Parsi was a Karoi, and he says, Ki Yisrael ha'yimonim b'cheshvan ha'shemesh, that the Jews would count a year going by the solar year. He says, V'lo yezed nochen, hine lepir shmesh malach shana t'mima. Then we don't have any definition of what a solar year is. There is no definition like that. None of the astronomers have been able to give us definitively what a solar year is like. Lemaisa, our calendar has been revised many times to accommodate for that. The problem, main problem being is that a solar year and a day don't have any normal exchange rate. They're not divisible in any real good way, and certainly you can't have like odd things like, you know, every 93rd year an extra day, and every 185 years a day less. You need to have some normal sense of days, and that's why halachically we'd be stuck. Halachically, year is very important, and we don't have any figure for that. So you have a huge argument exactly what fraction is a solar year. And the truth is, it's very hard to make a determination what is exactly the year. And is the sun in the same place? What about, there's something called the sidereal day, which is looking at the stars, where they are positioned. There are many ways to determine what's the point of return, and we don't have any clarity. But Oyed, it says, Kippur is chodesh akhir shaparsi. At the end of the day, the concept of a month has no meaning in a solar year. The months that we have in the secular calendar are meaningless. They're just a kind of a rule of thumb, 30 days, approximately 30, 31 days, but they correlate to nothing. Nothing happens to the sun in a month. So basically, we have two strong reasons why there's no way we could say that the solar year is our year. First of all, we don't have a definition for that. No clear consensus as to what it would be. And secondly, the word chodesh, which is so important in Torah, doesn't mean anything. But tztukim ha'imim shadas ha'shas alvanet, the tztukim say it is a lunar year. So he says, that's also not true. It can't be. Da ke'en lo levanet shana klal. The moon has no year. Rak bikshu ha'mechashvim mispeh chodesh ha'kareim l'shas ha'chamet tzom yudbeis. It was an attempt to sort of make the lunar year be a year. So they picked 12 months. 12 months is a very, very gross number. It's not at all accurate in any sense. It was just a convenience. Al-Kaini says, Davinetza says, our calendar consists of two items, months and years. Al-Kain chodsheinehem lo'alavona u'shnoiseinu l'shuvos ha'shas ha'chama. Our months are lunar months. Our years are solar years. We have two halachas, and they need to dance with each other. They need to coincide. Al kein etiku chazal ki la'olam ha'yibez no'is ha'shiva yiburim v'chol machzer halacha ma'shmi sinai. Al b'shay koi b'chol chodesh b'yiris lavana. So even though each month he did riyas lavana, the Menazer says, but the years themselves, they would have like a sort of a rotation of how many burim in every machsa. Now, so the word taviru means you will blow shayf in a way that includes the entire hekev of the shemesh, every possible arrangement of solar lunar. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this Ibn Ezra. It's a very important Ibn Ezra. He obviously deals with the technical level and the simple facts on the ground, so to speak. This inyan that he points out here is a much, much deeper inyan, really. Ramchal speaks about it quite a bit, and it's worth spending a few minutes on it. The mahalach of the sun and the moon in the Sfarim, they speak about two types of hanhagas of the Bria. The sun seems to be an extremely kavudik hanhaga. The sun is something which is very fixed, it expresses itself in nature. You have winter and summer and fall and spring. Those are all the solar year, the things that grow are all in the solar year. It's a very, very much part of the natural order in the world. It's very structured, it's very constant, consistent, and its effects are the physical world. The moon, the Chazal say it, Pomba Bektor, Pomba Arucha, La Yoda Mevo'o, it's something which, it's tricky. We can't predict with 100% accuracy. Obviously, once you map out its thing, but by looking at it and guessing, it sort of comes at different times. Not something that we can clearly say how much, how long. Its effect on nature is kind of hidden. Yes, it affects the tides, but it's something that you don't. It's something that's kind of strange to us. All of the distinctions of the moon and the sun is between Teva, nature, versus unpredictable, out of Teva, and so on. Kalal Yisrael is associated with the moon a lot, because we're outside the Gidrei Teva. Our fortunes are tied not so much to natural order as to the world of Torah mitzvahs and so on. The Archal speaks about this and others. If you take a look, the secular Christian world, or the Christian world, has adopted the sun as its model. The Muslims take the moon. Their symbol is a moon, and the crescent, and their calendar, the Muslim calendar, is a lunar calendar. The lashon of the Ramchal is that they have the moon bepigumo, the moon as it is flawed, like it says, like Hashem has b'mayit. That's why their emblem is a crescent, which is a flawed moon, a piece of moon, and their year is just spirals out of control. It Ramadan vacillates from being a long hot summer to middle of winter. Just keeps moving. It's the moon without being aligned with the sun. The shleimus of Adam, the Klai Yisrael, is the constant aligning of the two. Meaning, let's say we're, as a secular world believes, in the order of nature. That's where it starts and that's what it ends with. The Muslim world has a habit of very deterministic. It's all Allah. We can't do anything. We won't do anything. It's all what He wants, and so on. That is no regard for Teva in any sense of the word. Now, that's both of them are not viable. Both of them don't work. Both are Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is, this world is not made. If a person doesn't plow the ground and doesn't produce food and starves to death, unless he's on a madrega of Adam HaRishon, he is guilty for he's guilty of killing whoever starves to death. Imagine a person doesn't administer medicine because he says it's all a Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing. The person is a rotzeach, except for some of that kind of dag of mal reifi bebeis Hashem, beis Halevi, the Ramban, but anybody in a normal dag is not shy to it. We have a chiyuv to engage in the natural order and understand that it's aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashem le yishma ir shav shachat shemer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, my hishtadlus itself is a shell, but without it, it's like a gun. If I don't have someone shooting it, it's not going to do anything. All my hishtadlus is simply a chetimtza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the channel bracha. But if we don't do it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not channeling any bracha. So the difference between Devin Ezra's itemizing of why we're not a solia, why we're not a lunia, but two together, really has a lot of depth to it in terms of what we are and so on. Next one is Chinuch, about the Sheif and Yevil. He's bothered by a simple question. He says, you know, Mela, Sheif and Rosh Hashanah deals with, Rosh Hashanah is sort of a day of tshuva, it's more a person, breaks a person. What's the point of the Sheifer on Yovel? Mishra Shem Mitzvah. Nefishi Yedua, Ki Koyel HaSheifer To'er Leiv Bnei Adam, in Mashal Nochama. The sound of a Sheifer tends to stimulate people, whether it's for peace or war. Ve'inyin Sheluach HaEved, She'ovas HaDegas Man Rav, Hu Koshem Me'od Bnei Adono. Al kein la or le vabrias la inem o ze chazik nafshom as hira mitzvah vishom skol shofa bir osam ki dova shovu chol oret vishakol osam kein it's a vino zer. So he says an incredible pshat. Let's first understand the first half of it and then the second half. The first half is, you know, we talk about Shemitah and we think about, you know, people not planting the field and so on. Okay, we hear the nisayin, it's tremendous nisayin. But we don't begin to understand the son of Yovel. Slaves in those days were the mainstay of your workforce. Imagine giving up all your machinery on Yovel. I mean, this was your workforce. It's one thing to let the factory lay idle for a week, a day, a year, and it's another thing to let the factory to close down. Basically, they were closing down what they had. So it was a very, very difficult nisayon. Now he says, so how did the shofar help? So he says, because they see that everyone does it. She'ein dava, she'echazik libos bnei adam k'may sarab. When a person sees everyone do it, it's mechazik him. O k'may ma'achacham tsar rabim nechama. Gam ha'eved ba'atzim is erlatz is kol avodim tafsidei rabba sh'ohav. So the Chinuch is telling us a very important yesod in all of our mitzvahs. We used to knocking ourselves and saying, you're just doing because everybody else does it. Yeah, the reason why you dress sneezing is because everyone else does it. But if you'd be in an environment where you're sneezing, you wouldn't, and so on and so forth. It might be true, but that's a reason, that's a good reason to be part of that tzibur. It's one thing if a person follows other people mindlessly. It's not that I want to dress this way, that way, the other way. It's just that if everybody dresses, I'm sort of not going to dress differently. But it's a so that's kind of basic, that you give no thought and you have nothing of your own. But let's say I say to myself, I feel it's appropriate to dress sneistic, for instance. And I say to myself, I know I'm weak, and I know that it's hard for me to be the guy who stands out or sticks out. So let me be part of a tzibur, and when everybody does it, I'll feel very good about it. That's a very, very positive. So you're recognizing what's emes. You're recognizing an honest introspection about yourself, what's right and what's wrong. And you follow through by using a certain etzah. That's kulei toiv, that's not bad. So understanding who a person is, what he is, and what he needs to do is positive. So if everybody does it, I can do it also. I want to add another insight into this chinuch over here. That specific, so the principle of chinuch says is true about all tos of ma'isim. But there's another, there's something very specific about this. There's somebody just wrote a book, I think his name is Picol, if I'm not mistaken. It's a big Picard, Picol. I didn't bother to read it, but I read a lot of the reviews about it. It's about understanding what's wrong with our society today, economically. And his basic point is that even if the economy is good and grows, but the salaries and profits of the lowest element of society does not in any way keep pace with the money, the salaries and the profits of the upper crust of society, the upper economic crust of society. So in a certain sense, the poor are getting poorer because in the gap between them and the wealthy people is ever widening. That's the point, and that's why whatever we have is not good, it's not just, b'chola, b'chola, b'chola. That's the gist of what he says. Think about it. But there's something about what he says here in terms of defining ourselves in image that's incredible. If someone were to ask me, I'm on an island, and someone were to ask me, what makes you economically comfortable? So I would sit and think, and I would say, possessing A, B, and C. That's what I want. That will make me comfortable. And if I have D, E, and F, that will make me fantastically comfortable. Now, comes along somebody who possesses A, B, C, D, E, F, plus G, H, I, J, K. All of a sudden, I'm a Rachmanis case, because I don't have what the other person has. But it doesn't make sense. Why is it that I should be measuring physical comfort and economic well-being with what the wealthy person has? So let's say society keeps going that way. So let's give two scenarios. I can have an economy where the poorer people have twice as much as they had 10 years ago, and the wealthy people have four times as much. That's scenario one. Scenario two is where the poor people have 1.5 times as much as they had before, and the wealthy people also have 1.5 times as much before. So by the reasoning of this book, the second system is a lot better. So that means even though objectively I have less stuff than I had, less food and I have less this, but since what the wealthy person has, that is an incredible, incredible observation. It means that even in our material well-being, even when we measure our material well-being, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with what the other person has. And I mean, it's Koheles' wisdom, extraordinary. V'akol kinas ish mire'ehu. Everything that happens is kina, because we don't ever measure our standard of well-being by ourselves. I'm comfortable, I'm good, and this and that. It's let's see what there is. But that's an incredible statement about how meaningless and worthless our personal life is. Because it's not even what it's about me. Unless I can take a look into your living room and your living room and your living room and see what you have there, I don't know if I should be happy with what I have. It's obvious because since material, you know, there's a level that we're discomfortable. If a person has to stand or he doesn't have a chair to sit on, he's uncomfortable. Person has a chair to sit on, and it's very hot, it's uncomfortable, but at some point, it's only the fantasy of what the other person has versus what I have. And so in a certain perverse way, if everybody doesn't have, I'm also comfortable. It's one thing if I was singled out to have to do the mitzvah of giving up my stuff. So then I would say, oh, I'm a miskin, I'm a rachmanis, that's not. But now that everybody's doing it, it's soros ram, chatzi nechama. Okay, you know what? Everybody's doing it. That's that. And then he adds, finally, he says, the mitzvah is miskayim. Everything returns back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is sort of a description of what the ultimate point in the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar and Yovel is, that everything returned back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go back the way it was. Okay, we'll hold it here.